We lived there for about 9 or 10 months, and then we moved to a small town in Ireland called Athlone, which was like London without the buildings. Just when I thought things couldn't get more fucking depressing, the whole entire town was covered in fucking strange, damp, sad bastards trying to gather up the confidence to fuck themselves into the River Shannon. I lived there. Lived there for a little while, then I moved to Navan. I lived in Navan on the east coast for about 9 or 10 years, and then I was sent off to a boarding school in the west of Ireland for another 2 years. So when I left school, I knew that I didn't want a job. I just fucking, there's another life out there. A strange, travelling, talking life. I loved God. God was the only consistent thing in my life growing up. He was not there all the time. My friends were there and then they were gone, and there and gone. I never fucking saw them again. God was just not there the whole time. I knew I could trust his absence. So I tried to be a priest. I actually went to a seminary in Dublin to become a fucking priest, but I was too sexy. I was just too sexy. Now, that's not me saying that. It was a bishop. This bishop. The bishop came up and he said, "You better get the fuck out of here, Fairly Lively. With the sexy little head in you. Run, run, run for your life." I travelled a little bit around, you know, and I find the reason I don't like Switzerland. I was there once, and Switzerland has decided that it will do whatever it needs to do to survive. And it does this by minding the world's money. That's how they do it, isn't it? The Swiss, they look after everybody's money. So it doesn't matter if your name is Himmler or Trump, they will look after your cash and don't care. And I was doing a show in Zurich, and Zurich is where James Joyce is buried. And James Joyce is remarkable because he was an ordinary Irish man, and he was the first person to put a woman's orgasm in a book. The 1922, the end of Ulysses, is Molly Bloom lying on the flat of her back with her hand down her hairy pants, and she's fiddling. She's fiddling fiercely and fiercely fiddling. And she's imagining she's down by the docks getting rowed up against a wall by some Spanish sailor. And she doesn't even know his name, and she brings herself to climax, and she's there. Yes! Yes! Not just yes to the release of sexual energy, but yes to life in all its fucking complications and miseries and sadness and frustrations and joy. Yes, yes. And I had to go to his grave to pay my respects. So I'm in the hotel afterwards, and I see this young lady in the foyer, sitting in the kind of the bar part of the hotel, and she's on her own, and she's mid-20s and wearing a red dress, and she's a black bob, and she looks kind of sexy, you know. And I says to my promoter, who's your one? And he says, she's a hooer, right? And I could not take me eyes off her. The big, bowed as brass, hoory head in her, just fucking sitting there. You never get to see that in Ireland. Jesus, the most you see of a prostitute in Ireland is a hand, a palsied hand, coming out of the shadows. And this fucking this gender vague voice going, "Give us your cock. Go on, give us your cock. I'll pull you off for a tenner. I'll pull you off for a tenner." I don't know what the American women are like at hand jobs, but there is only one word to describe an Irish woman's approach to a hand job, and that is relentless. They have just... You'd swear they were trying to start a car from the 40s. It's just fucking relentless. Just fucking... They wank you like they're... Do you know that game where you have the cone and you're trying to get the cup up on top of it?
They pull you so hard and fast, they're trying to get your testicles to go round the front of your cock and land on the back of it there like that. So.
I'm looking at this. At this woman, and I am. I'm very drawn to her because I have lots of sexual kind of ideas and inclinations and fantasies that pass through my head. And it's the thing you must not say. It's the thing when you see beautiful women that you just have to, you know, those instincts, you just, you know, so to see this woman like just saying, yeah, I fuck for money and I don't care what your name is or nothing. And I sex is, you know, it's stressful. Sex is stressful for... As you get older, isn't it? Sex is stressful. I worry about me horn. I worry about being able to maintain an erection. So I'm, you know, women have their own problems. As women get older, you have your own issues, don't you? Older women in your mid-50s onwards, what's the great fucking worry ye have? Drying up entirely. That's what the women... That's what the women are afraid of. Ah, John, you may as well be trying to fuck two slices of toast. Don't bother. Don't bother. And they'd be jealous of the young ones because the young ones are drenched. Oh my God. Riding a young one is like putting on your Wellington boots and just fucking splashing in a puddle and it's going everywhere and you don't care because you're alive. I'm alive. So. I'm looking at this young lady. Then, over this side, this businessman comes in. All blood pressure and cash. And he's this young one with him, you know, early 20s or something, like a blondie Russian tennis player. Little skimp of a thing. And the two of them head into the lift. And about 15 minutes later, 20 maybe, she comes out and she's on the phone. And something's not right. She's stuttering and shouting. And 20 minutes after that, an ambulance comes to the hotel. And 25 minutes after that, this fucking corpse. And I asked, I says, what happened? Was it your man? It was your man. I said, what happened? And they're very straightforward in Switzerland. They said that he, well, that's what the phrase would be. He came and he went. At the point of orgasm, his heart just burst. Tell you is you've got to be free.
Come together right now, or me.
If you insist.